Good readings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to Flesh Wound Horror Live. We're late night tonight, at least on the East Coast. I am Flesh Wound Dan, joined by inmate 18734. Probably pop in a little bit later, but y'all know Todd got in trouble again.
This is why you don't stop women from shitting on you or cutting your fingers off.
There you go. You just take it. And we're also joined by Mike Krueger. Nobody's shitting on him.
Yeah, fuck no. What's up, you sick motherfuckers? Happy 420.
Happy 420. Yeah, it's funny that he leads with that. I know so many people that are glued right now to that trial.
I actually got a suspension on Facebook from commenting a few days for some choice words I had to say about Amber Heard earlier today.
I like all the hashtag Amber Turd stuff going around now. And
that's so unoriginal. Come on, step up your game, guys. Not y'all, but...
How is South Park not made a fucking episode yet? Like,
I think we gotta wait for it to come back.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. They're gonna have a hilarious episode. I don't think they've ever made fun of Johnny Depp before.
Oh yeah, they have. They've done like the drunken thing. I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
they've done. Okay. I'm pretty sure they made fun of Pirates of the Caribbean too.
Yeah, like him walking around being drunk and shit.
Okay.
Now they're saying he looks like a strip club DJ, so that made me laugh. I'm gonna change my opinion if we keep.
I don't want to say I'm Team Johnny, but I will say never heard a bad thing about him for the most part. Amber Heard, I heard, was a bitch going all the way back to Mandy Lane. So, I believe she took a shit in his bed.
Oh, for sure. Like sounds like and when you hear like the little clips of like them fighting and just how like intense shit gets, I'm like, yeah, this crazy fucking bitch definitely shit in this bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, shit the bed and cut his finger off. Like, Jesus Christ, get the fuck out of that relationship. Oh my god.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything before about the finger being cut off. So that's pretty messed up. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think we're gonna be Johnny Depp. I think is ready to start his Bruce Willis run, and I think I don't know what'll happen to Amber Heard. She's so unlikable. I think it's gonna be hard for her.
What do you mean by his Bruce Willis run?
His direct movies. Yeah, yeah, not the medical part.
But if that means we get him in more like low budget horror, I'm down with that. I mean, hey, not good. Yeah, not good for his career, maybe. But I don't know. It's better than what he's doing right now, right?
Well, it's funny because his last movie, City of Lies, probably the last Johnny Depp movie I was hyped for. They blamed this whole thing on this, but it was honestly because the company had no money for City of Lies, the Tupac Biggie movie.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, but yeah, it was because they were broke. It had nothing to do with this. The company.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Johnny Depp, he became for a time, probably the top star in Hollywood when he got the Pirates gig. But he did a lot of, he did studio stuff, but a lot of oddball movies, Dead Man and, even Edward Scissorhands. I mean, I wouldn't consider that
mainstream. But that was a different time. They don't make that level of pictures anymore.
I know. I'm saying I think he will enjoy not having to do the Hollywood stuff, the big budget stuff. I think he'll be fine. Nick Cage is a good, he needs to make his Mandy next.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. I'm all for that. But what do we got tonight, Dan? What are we talking about other than Amber Heard and fucking Johnny Depp?
Yeah, enough shit talk. So we've got a bunch of new horror movies tonight. We got some stuff from Shudder, Netflix, all sorts of cool stuff. We'll see where we fall. Everything's a little bit different tonight. And we've got one in particular that was pretty mind-blowing. But we'll kick it off tonight with let's do Choose or Die, which is from Netflix and director Toby Meekins. And after firing up a lost 80s survival horror game, a young coder unleashes a hidden curse that tears reality apart, forcing her to make the terrifying decisions and face deadly consequences. All right. So I think we actually watched the trailer for this one recently on the past trailer show that we did. And so it's interesting. This is actually a UK horror film and kind of presents that itself as though it's not, but it kind of shows it the 80s nostalgia in this one is not particularly strong for me anyways. I think we thought it was like a choose your own adventure kind of movie.
If you watched our trailer show, we totally fucked up and thought this was going to be like a choose your own adventure Bandersnatch type movie, but ended up just being a straight up movie, which made it way less cool.
it's not that it's a perfect movie by any means. It kind of made me want to watch Brain Scan again for some reason. The nostalgia's not strong. The writing's pretty terrible at times. The coolest scene is in that clip I think we played with the glass eating. It's weird because at one point, not to give anything away, but they actually have a line that says fuck the 80s, and I was thinking like, man, you're nowhere close to what we want you to be. You're not gonna get your nostalgia fix with this one. I will say the lead I thought was likable enough, but
the story overall, going on with her mom, I thought was kind of interesting. Like everything else, I thought was like really basic, honestly. Just stuff you've seen before, especially with the scares. Like there wasn't anything out, like you said, the one glass eating scene's really good, but
Saw light. It's really like Saw light, basically. Some of it didn't make a whole lot of sense either, not to delve too deep into it, but the way the game went, if you're thinking you're going to get a lot of Robert Englund, he's just a voice.
Yeah. He's just a voice, which was extremely fucking disappointing.
And, did they promote that he was going to be in it? Cause I didn't know.
I'm pretty sure it popped up somewhere. Because I did see a lot of people in Facebook groups posting like, oh, well, I love Robert Englund, so I'm checking this out. Everybody's like, oh, you're going to be really disappointed.
Okay, because like I didn't know, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. So my opinion was, a little different.
Yeah, it's... I would even go as far like that Countdown app movie, which is kind of like a gimmick movie, I thought was better. Truth or Dare, the theatrical one, which I didn't really like that much. Even that, I thought was better than this.
Yeah, for sure.
Nothing.
Props, just Dan, putting your favorite company over.
You know it's bad when I actually say something nice about Bloom. But I didn't say I like that one.
But is it better than Fantasy Island?
Yeah, this one's better than Fantasy Island. But that's
Dan switching teams.
That's not. No, this one is better than Fantasy Island.
That's what I mean. Yes.
Yeah, Fantasy Island shit. But yeah, I don't know. This is just another really mediocre Netflix movie. They've been more miss than hit with me recently. It's not scary. It doesn't deliver on any of the gore or the things that we like about 80s films. The consequences of the game, none of that's particularly interesting. I do like Azza Butterfield, but they don't even really develop the romance between those two very much, which also might have made you care a little bit more. This is just kind of an empty movie. I feel like some people will like this. We have that sort of 8-bit scene with the rat and everything.
Yeah, that's cool, but it's not... I don't know. For me, like this movie had potential there, but like when it came to scares or like you already said, gore, and just it was all very basic. And the story got like it started strong, but then towards the end, it got so convoluted and just hard to follow. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the ending was really disappointing too. And like, I was like, fuck, well, because I kind of got hooked just hearing it was Robert Englund in it and just seeing, you know, some of the Nightmare on Elm Street memorabilia, like in the background of scenes and stuff. I thought there was going to be more of that. Like, hey, we could point at, you know, a Hellraiser poster or some shit like that. But it never really did anything. Maybe if you're a tech guy, I don't know. Maybe if like you're super into tech and the technology from that time period, you could find, you know, some interest there. But yeah, it just, it starts off pretty decent, but then just fizzles out and gets confusing. And the ending just wasn't good. And overall, it's a one-time watch. I wouldn't recommend it, to be honest with you, but I can see some people liking it. And I do kind of think you're onto something there with like Truth or Dare and stuff like that. I feel like if you're fans of those types of movies, maybe you'll be a fan of this, but I mean, Truth or Dare was all right, but everything else that you were mentioning, like Fantasy Island fucking sucked. And, but I do get the feel, same vibe. I wouldn't be surprised if like Blumhouse put this out.
Yeah, Fantasy Island, it rubbed salt in the wound when they had the tattoo reveal. I was like, all right.
Dan's still mad. Don't do it again. Don't do it again, Dan. You already got one hating you. Don't make it another one.
That was your fault, Todd.
No, it is not my fault because I went to go see wrestling, of a genre of wrestling that I can't say anymore.
Can't make a King Kong Bundy joke anymore. Yeah, I think this does have an audience. It's not me. I don't know. Just nothing was engaging about this. It was just a bland Netflix movie.
What about you, Todd?
Thank you. I was waiting for Dan to ask.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know. I was making sure you were ready.
I'm with you guys. Like, I do like Truth or Dare. I'm like one of the few, but I like the lead. But which is also probably why I actually like Fantasy Island too. So, which I know is a bad movie. So I'm putting that out there. Now this one is a bad movie that I like the premise, but that's it. The first scene was cool. But then we don't really build off it. We kind of go the other direction. I think if that opening scene and we built on it more, and instead of it just falling flat.
Yeah.
This is what the subscription money's giving you when they raise their price and give you commercials.
But the one thing I'll say, though, is Netflix has some of the best series. Like fucking Midnight Mass and The Squid Games were like two of the best shows I've ever fucking seen in my life.
Squid Games, I think, was a pickup, though.
They own it now, and that's where we're going to get season two. So
sure.
They have me hooked.
Yeah. Yeah,
but that's all they have now. They're losing all their content because everyone else is starting their own streaming. So it's the strength of that that's going to keep them alive. Maybe they'll stop cutting shows off after three seasons.
Yeah, that would be nice.
They've produced some shit, a lot of shit recently that I feel like nobody wants to see. And they've just been bad investments.
Here's the thing. They cut those off. If there's an audience watching it, they'll keep it around for three seasons. Their philosophy is that a show is only going to attract new viewers those first three seasons. And they'll only stick around then. After that, that's why they don't renew. Because they don't think it's going to bring in new people or keep people.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, I like certain shows to clear out their storylines. I mean, let's be honest, how much juice is left in Stranger Things? I like Stranger Things. I mean, I
think there's enough to get us through the end of the story. Like, you know, we're only getting, I think we're getting season five and then that's it. So I think there's enough world to, you know, explore to get into that for two seasons.
I'm so mad we didn't get another season to Glow.
I see, like watching Stranger Things back. I really love the first season. Second season, it has its moments, but there's some stuff I don't really like, but season three, I was really impressed with. So I'm like all in again. I was a little weary going into season three, but it got me, especially with the grand finale with the mind flayer fucking creature. That shit was amazing.
Yeah, I
talking think about cooler shit than this fucking movie.
Yeah, that's always a good sign on Flesh Wound Features when we segue into something that has nothing to do with it. Yeah. I'm a one. Again, it might be a little higher for some of you, but I wouldn't waste your time.
I'm a 2 out of 5, and maybe that's a little too generous, but I will say, like, the first 40 minutes, I was really interested, and I did like the whole relationship with the mom and the main character and their shitty dealer that was just being an asshole. That was a good little side story. Tugged
the heartstrings more, though, with that, I felt.
Well, like, yeah, there's somebody that should have been, like, probably killed off that didn't get killed off, and the person that got killed off, you're supposed to feel something for, and you're like, they didn't really have like this strong relationship throughout the movie for me to feel anything. But
yeah, there's some moments where it comes to life, but it's
So 2 out of 5. I mean, it's still below average. What about you, Todd?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm kind of, well, I'm actually in between you guys. I'm a 1.5. I think there will be an audience for this, just we're not it.
Yeah. Fair enough. If you liked it, let us know if anybody else has watched it.
And again, I like all the examples Dan gave too, and I don't like this, so that tells you something.
Yeah, I think all of those were more watchable than this. I think actually I did like Countdown, if I remember. But
you did. We saw that one together the first time you came out.
Yeah. So there you go. There's some other similar options that I think are a little bit better. All right, moving on to our next film, which we, I believe, also watched the trailer for. And that is Barbarians from IFC Midnight and director, writer, Charles Dorfman. And in this one, set over the course of 24 hours, Barbarians sees a couple, Adam and Ava, wake up in their supposed dream house on Adam's birthday. Lucas, the property developer and friend of the couple, arrives for dinner with his actress girlfriend, Chloe, to celebrate Adam's birthday and the couple's buying of the house. But secrets unravel over dinner, and when the doorbell rings, the evening takes a nightmarish turn. As manners give way to madness, an idyllic evening of celebration descends into a dark night of terror, and the group's civilized dinner party turns out to be anything but. So I gotta say, I've got a very strong feeling on this one. I think Kruger fucking loved this movie. I just feel it in my gut. I feel it in my gut. So Kruger, how about Barbarians? You buying the t-shirt, the merch, all that good stuff?
Yeah, man, this fucking movie. So, like, I was really interested with the trailer just because home invasion stuff, guys in cool masks, I mean, it's appealing to me. But this just fucking sucks so bad. It takes so long just to get into the home invasion shit. And everything up until then is such a drag to get through. The main character, he's such a spineless dick, and I hate his, you know, douchebag friend that sold him the house, and all the characters are just very unlikable. And I mean, characters don't need to be likable in every, you know, every movie, but this one I felt like we kind of had to feel something for somebody, and I just felt nothing. God, when that guy's just calling Lucas a pussy over and over and over and over again to his face, I'm just like infuriated. I'm like, punch the motherfucker in the face already or something.
Yeah. Take
like,
the or, ass whipping. Just
like, just him. Do something, man. And you know, once the home invasion stuff happens, it's basic, uninspired. And there's a couple of situations, man, that just drove me fucking crazy. Like, multiple times where somebody would just hand the gun back to the antagonist. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? You're in a home invasion. They're threatening your life. You get the gun from them, and you're not going to fucking shoot them. What the? And just hand it back? No struggle, no nothing?
Just hand it back, I guess.
I was like, I was really in shock how goddamn stupid this movie got. So, yeah, man, this is one of the worst fucking things I've seen all year. And oh, IFC Midnight, Jesus Christ. Like, I understand why you guys were talking about, you know, them starting to lose their reputation. Cause What I really just don't understand is how anybody could watch this movie and find it good or passable to even fucking release. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm fucking nuts. I had taken too many shots to the head, but I don't know. Todd, Dan, where are you guys at on it?
Well, to be fair, you might be a little nuts and probably have taken too many, but I don't think that affects your opinion on this. I was like, God, is this going to get good? I was like, it's not. I was hoping for something similar to, what's the name of the one, Dan, with your favorite bag of bones?
Go fuck yourself, Todd.
Oh, Trespasser or something like that?
Was that what it was, Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the goddess Peruse the ball. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yes, the skeleton. I did say that.
Go fuck yourself again, Todd.
Well,
she's beautiful. Still. Beautiful.
Crack is whack.
Hey, at least she has better teeth than Bubba.
Dude, she would have been screwed if she was in the last movie. God damn.
All right, sorry. I had a mute. Dan, what did you think?
All right, so this one's not good, and I didn't like it. I wouldn't call it stupid per se. There's actually a lot going on here. It's not a simple movie, but it's not compelling. I didn't care about anybody. I found everybody annoying. But there's a lot going on. So this is another one. Once again, I feel like there is an audience for it. I can never say his name right, but Ewan Rahone, who most people know as Ramsay Bolton on Game of Thrones, plays a great heel if you watched Game of Thrones. There's a lot going on with like toxic masculinity and like different things they're kind of cramming in there. But again, it just, none of it's really interesting. And I didn't care about anyone in this movie. Everybody was just kind of annoying to me, and I was not engaged for a 90 minute ride with anyone. The third act does kind of amp things up. You know, this is kind of like a borderline dark comedy at times. And then, you know, the home invasion portion kicks in and it gets a little more lively, but once again, it doesn't go anywhere interesting. I kept waiting because I really thought this one was going to be good. I do like the cast. Catalina Sandino Moreno, I've seen her in several things. She's really good. Tom Cullen, another very capable actor. But yeah, I don't know. It didn't hit. It just didn't hit. I can see this being a case of really being 50-50, and maybe we're just not in that 50% that liked it.
From what I've seen online, most people are in this fucking sucks category.
Okay. Well, I do have Bugs notes too, guys.
I would be shocked, but did he like it?
Well, this is what I have. Ramsay Bolton is the true king of the North. This movie is steadily paced, average story. I don't feel I wasted my time, but it felt skippable to me.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. That's the thing that made me mad, is like, I really felt like this was a waste of time. And just, there's so many wasted opportunities to just have something a little bit more interesting. Or creative, you know. The home invasion stuff could have got really, really sick, and it never gets anywhere even close.
I have a fix for it. He should have literally morphed into Ramsay Bolton, cut Tom Cullen's dick off, and just gone like really hardcore, like just become Ramsay Bolton, and it would have worked in the finale. But I don't know. Fortunately, we don't get anything cool like that. It's just just a bunch of annoying people having dinner and fighting over the property.
And one of the guys is a really big pussy. We were told about 50,000 fucking times.
When he put him like in that submission hold and everything. There were a few points, like, not to give anything away, but when there's a certain reveal and Bolton kind of nuts up to him a little bit, like I was like, oh, okay, here we go. Now it's gonna really pick up and we're gonna have a strong finish, but nah, not at all. It's another one. I will say tonight I think we do have some winners though. So unfortunately this isn't it. But what do you rate this one, Krueger?
One big one out of the five.
Yeah, I gotta go 1-2, but don't let us dissuade you. Pugs obviously had a little bit, would have had nicer thoughts on it. Todd?
I am a 1 also, and Pugs is a 2, so he liked it the most out of us.
So there you go, 2 out of 5.
Nice. Now, I'm not going to segue yet. I'm just going to say there is some Firuza love in the chat. Daily Ghost saw Return.
I'm not saying she didn't used to be hot.
Well, I hope she wasn't hot in Return to Oz. I mean, but
Dan,
that's not what I said. I was more thinking Waterboy.
You really want to keep going on this conversation, Dan? You might just want to move on.
Waterboy, she's beautiful. The Craft, stunning. And you know what? Trespassers.
Oh my God. See, you know what? I was going to side with you. Then you went and did that. We know what movie you think she looks the best in. So let's move on.
I stand.
She looked like she just got out of a Motel fucking 8. Trespasser.
She looks great.
Dan,
she looks great. Come on, Todd. Still does. Stand up for Firuza.
You know what? If there was a crackhead contest, she would win.
She doesn't look like
a crackhead. Crackhead beauty contest. Miss Methtober.
That's funny. Anyways.
Moving on.
Moving on. Todd's got terrible taste in women, but we're going to move on. And
now my wife's gonna shit on your bed and cut off your finger.
Patreon exclusive coming soon, ladies and gentlemen.
Nobody, Firuza would not shit the bed. She's a classy lady. All right, so moving on to our next film, which is a Shudder original, Night's End, from director Jennifer Reeder. And in this one, an anxious shut-in moves into a haunted apartment, hiring a stranger to perform an exorcism, which quickly takes a horrific turn. For those of you that remember earlier on in the pandemic, we had Host on Shudder, a 52-minute horror flick that a lot of people really liked. And this is another one. It's a pandemic era Zoom flick, obviously shot around the same time.
But it's not Screen Life.
It's not
filmed in the Screen Life way, like off of a computer.
No.
It's an actual movie, which I'll get into that later, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, actual movie. If you don't recognize the director's name, she did the Holy Hell segment of VHS 94.
The worst one.
It was. She also did Knives and Skin, which I haven't watched. That's actually been on.
I've heard a lot. Like, that's the one thing that I heard that she has done that like a lot of people like. But then,
She's very talented. So the beginning of this, I really enjoyed quite a bit. Nothing you haven't seen before, kind of typical haunt story. But I really like the lead actor, which is not Michael Shannon, by the way. He just has a small part, just again, very obviously shot during the pandemic, because Michael Shannon really isn't in this very long. It felt like, yeah, sure, I can give you 5 minutes from my house somewhere. But I really love the lead. One character that comes along later, it's played by Lawrence Grimm, Colin Albertson, the Colin Albertson character. He is directly mimicking Vincent Price in like the Abominable Dr. Fibes. And I really liked it. Campy, but I think it was intentional, and I had a lot of fun with it. This is a really familiar movie, so I could see people absolutely loving it or just kind of thinking it's a little bit on the tired side. I actually had fun with it. I really did. Nothing new, but everything clicked for me. It was fun. And yeah, I had a good time. How about you, Kruger?
I hated this movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I really, really did. Like, I'll tell you my reasons, though. It's not like it's a bad movie, but I was really invested in the beginning with our main character, you know, just because he seemed, you know, just kind of peculiar. You know, he's keeping dead birds in his, you know, fridge and shit and in the taxidermy and stuff. Like, I thought that was kind of interesting. But then as the story plays out and we're stuck more and more with this guy on his computer, I'm just like, why the fuck didn't they make this a Screen Life movie? Like, it would have worked so much better and just been more interesting to me. I think being, because literally the whole final act is on computers, and it kind of drove me crazy that, you know, the whole rest of the movie wasn't like that. It would have worked, and the final act, I think, would have worked better too, just because it would have, I don't know, just being in that authentic feel, like everything's real, and that Screen Life thing would have been, you know, I think more powerful. And I don't know, as it came out and we found out, you know, his relationship with his ex-wife and stuff like that, it was really, really losing me. And then when I got the ending with the shitty CGI, I was really, really out of it. And I was pretty upset by the end of the movie, to be honest with you, just because, mainly because I thought it was really promising at first, and then it just kind of turned into a pile of shit for me. But, you know, I can see people enjoying it, but I hate that the glowing eyes effect like that. I mean, I don't ever think it looks good. And what we ended up getting in the final act too, just, I thought it was silly. And just, and the one thing you did bring up, I'm glad you did, was that it was really fucking cheesy, like at the tour, especially towards
the end. And it worked for me. But, for me, it worked.
But here's my issue. The beginning of the movie isn't that cheesy. Like, it's kind of more serious. Like, I feel like the first half of the movie, we're getting this interesting perspective on this guy, this reclusive guy. And, you know, it's not like we had these little comedic moments to even warrant what happened at the end, because I think it was just so silly.
Yeah.
I would have preferred it if they would have went straight, you know, just serious tone rather than, you know, have that cheese ball shit at the end, because it just didn't work for the rest of the movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, I get that. I do think it was intense, because like I said, Lawrence Grimm had to just watch like Vincent Price and just say, I'm doing that. And I liked his character. I wouldn't mind seeing more. I thought the thumb gag was kind of fun. It does kind of wrap up like really quick. Like, you know, it's like, all right, we got everybody here for the finale, and then it just kind of ends. But yeah, I don't know. I had fun with this one. Maybe it's because I watched it after Barbarians, and all I needed was just something to make me smile, and this one did it. I do feel like Host is the better movie. This one, I should say, is a feature length film. Host was also 52 minutes and tight, and just worked really well at that time. But if you're not too tired of very obvious pandemic shot films where they didn't have a whole lot of money, they just kind of threw something together, I think it's above average. I give it a 3. How about you?
I'm a 1 out of 5.
Okay. All right. Damn, Kruger, this is not a good night for you so
no,
far.
It was right.
He kind of tipped his hat on that earlier in the week.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't necessarily think you were going to like rave over that one. I was like, okay, I think you might like
it. It really, really upset me, man. Like, you know me, dude. I can't stand shitty CGI effects. And just, like I said, took me for a loop because I was like, what the fuck? Why? This makes no sense. The whole rest of the story wasn't in this tone at all. What is this? But, you know, that works for some people. Just for me, it didn't. And, you know, other instances it does, but I was more invested when it was more serious.
Yeah, I think Ben actually puts it well. It's a good laundry movie. That's fair enough. Yeah, it's a fun laundry movie. So, all right. That is, well, it's Kruger. We'll see if we'll break the streak. But that is Night's End.
Yeah. So, on our original graphics, we had mentioned we will be covering Evil Bong 8 Infinity High. that actually didn't drop today. So we won't be covering it, but they did drop Bad to the Bone, 16 Years of EB, which they're calling it an Evil Bong documentary. It plays more like a highlight reel, kind of to catch you up on the films, and has a little sneak peek at the end. So, I mean, I literally just watched all dozen films. I did the count. I think there's 22 in the Bong universe.
How many? Jesus.
If we include the new one. Well, but there's little connections here and there.
Yeah.
Which I think I do remember noticing Barbie and Kendra are going to be in the eighth one. If that becomes the case, that would make 25 films in the Evil Bongiverse.
Wow.
So we'll see. Right now it's 22 or 25.
You know, I love my full moon. It Evil Bong just never clicked with me.
You don't get high. So, I mean, it's probably,
but I do like stoner comedies. So it depends. It's not a sure thing.
And it's full of nudity too. And I don't mean schlongs. I mean, everyone.
I don't remember a ton of nudity in the
early everyone, Dan.
I remember some boobs, but
yeah. Well, in the end of the first one, they're stuck in Evil Bong world with all the strippers and everything. And
yeah,
then
I remember that.
And then then Tim Thomerson pops up and Bill Moseley. Damn, do I have to change my number? Because if Tim Thomerson pops up and he's kind of playing Jack Death, does that up our total to 30? I'm not going to count that.
Well, you're just going to have like a really long, you're going to disappear like every time now another one comes out and you got to watch
there's only 40 one
movies now.
It's the last one.
Yeah, I'm never counting on it being the last
one. Well, see, here's the thing. Who says EB's not going to pop up in Ginger Weed Man 2? So, you know what I mean? Just because there's not going to be another Evil Bong doesn't mean the characters go away. So,
yeah,
there's that. I mean, I'm sure we'll get another Ginger Dead Man. But one thing was funny.
I love Ginger Dead Man. I've said it before. I think Ginger Dead Man 2 Passion of the Crust is a classic. They crucify a goddamn cookie. That is awesome.
Unfortunately, Kruger will never see it because of how much he hated the first one.
Oh, yeah. Kruger, no. Give it to the second one. Passion of the Crust. The cookie gets crucified.
The half star I gave Ginger Dead Man is enough for me, dude. I'm out.
No, you said you would give one other
one. I'll give the Versus films a try because those kind of interest me a little bit.
Well, I will, if this helps for the second one. It is set, they're filming a movie. It's like more like if you like movies to do with movies. So it's like mayhem on a film set, not just like in a pie shop. I don't know.
Outside of the cookie crucifixion, how blasphemous is it?
It's pretty blasphemous, I would say. Maybe. Get the poster art. They actually, it's Passion of the Crust and it's got the cookie on the cross. It's,
okay.
Good times. At least give it through two. If you don't like two, skip it. The Bong verse.
Are the Versus films even that good?
I think the Versus one was probably the weakest from what I
remember. Here's the one thing about the Versus. If you haven't seen any of them, that movie catches you up. Like there's a segment that's like catches you up on Evil.
Yeah, because I. Yeah. Then, so. Yeah, that sounds. That sounds like some full moon shit they would do. Like just put in a bunch of the other movies to catch you up. Yeah.
It's time. Actually not as bad as someone like their Full Moon Puppet Master Legacy. They probably give you 5 minutes on each.
Dude, how pissed were you when you first rented Legacy? That was bullshit. You know don't own the Blu-ray of Legacy.
Well, I got it in the set.
One of these days I'll fucking put myself through the torture of watching every single Puppet Master, but I still haven't gotten to that point yet. Like I fell off at around like 4, and then I came back for Willis Reich and I was like extremely excited because like Willis Reich was awesome. Then I heard like the new stuff isn't any, it's still from Full Moon and they're not that good according to you guys. So
here's the thing. Puppet Master Legacy is not one of those cheap clip sequels that pisses me off the most. Dan, which is it?
For Puppet Master?
No, in all of all the Full Moon films, there's one film that is a clip film that makes me mad.
Killer Eye kind of did it. Where it's like you get like 20 minutes at the beginning.
Yeah, but that show, that again, that's not the same.
Which one? Because there's
Trancers 6.
Oh yeah, you know what though? I like the actress in that.
I don't care. It makes me so mad. You don't give me. Where's Tim Thomerson? Yeah, no, that movie just makes me mad.
Yeah,
Tremors Legacy 3 times before I have to watch that again.
Trancers 6 was like getting to that point where I was like, man, they really can't do the Paramount era stuff anymore.
I know that was like the first question I asked Tim Thomerson. He's like, it's basically they gotta pay these people.
Yeah,
it's not a hot dog and a handshake there.
yeah No, they can barely afford the hot dog now. But hey, they've been delivering on some recent stuff. So
I love Gingerweed Man. If you guys haven't seen Gingerweed Man out there, it's a good movie to end.
That's also a thumbs up for me too. I thought that was very funny.
It is streaming on Tubi.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I do want to say, if you want to check out this Full Moon, they call it a documentary, but it's like just a little sneak peek. It's free on Full Moon Direct or Full Moon Features. You can watch it on Amazon for free. So that's when, if you do want to check it out, get some clips. And yeah, it has all the nudity, Dan, so it can jog your memory.
There you go. I'm a Full Moon kid. I am totally open to revisiting the Evil Bong movies. I haven't quite gotten to it yet. I don't think I'm going to do like 30 films though. Now, if you're tying in even Trancers, I was like, nah.
No, I don't count that in my numbered list.
I love Trancers, but
That's probably
30 movies is a little rough.
I had one more little note on this, and now I lost it. Well, it's free if you want to check it out. They have a really, really killer deal right now.
Yeah.
Get the Evil Bong set and 10 free Blu-rays or DVDs right now if you sign up for a year of the Full Moon subscription. I think that's like $60. So that's a grip you're going to get if you do that. So
do they charge you the $60 all at once?
Yeah. Or... it's like you pay for the year.
Yeah. You just pay and then it's good until that day next year.
Do you know if they hold it over? Because I used to subscribe. It's been a few years since I've had a Full Moon subscription just because I have everything.
But I canceled my last one like 2 months before I re-up. Not even that. It was probably a month before I signed up again and got my 10 free.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I got to see if I even need 10 things from them, though. That's also my problem.
Have you gotten all the recent stuff?
I have. There's a few I haven't yet. And I
don't know if you're collecting on like the they've been putting out some of the Moonbeam stuff.
I need like Pre-Hysteria,
Mansion of the Dead. I bet you if you look, there is, because I've been keeping up, but I still managed to get 10.
Pre-Hysteria was a massive video hit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that Carnosaur as well. I always say, like, people don't realize.
Yeah, but Pre-Hysteria, that was always on the shelves anytime I went to the video store. And I remember renting it so many times as a kid.
Yeah, it was always really in demand. I do need to pick that up. I've been on a, not that that really qualifies as horror, but some of these kid films that I remember from my youth. Which are rare because I didn't watch a lot of like kid stuff. I was always the weirdo watching. I would watch
Remotes when I really like too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it over Easter. It's funny. I watched Watership Down and Plague Dogs. Just, like what qualified as a kid film at one time? It's just amazing. All right, but. Let's see if we can break Kruger's streak tonight with our next film, which is also just premiered on Shudder. And that is The Cellar from writer-director Brendan Muldowney. And this is an Irish horror film. And in this one, Kira Wood's daughter mysteriously vanishes in the cellar of their new house. She soon discovers there is an ancient and powerful entity controlling their home that she will have to face or risk losing her family's souls forever. All right. So this is actually based on The 10 Steps, which was a short film the director did 18 years ago. So finally decided to expand into this feature. And so haunted house cliches abound in this one. They're all pretty much there. The atmosphere, though, I'd say is pretty strong. It's nice seeing Elijah Cuthbert back in a horror film. Of course, a lot of people remember her from House of Wax and Captivity. And I don't know, maybe return to the genre now. We'll start seeing her in a bunch of horror movies. The cinematography, everything's really strong. The portions outside of the house at times where the parents were at their advertising job kind of killed the momentum a little bit for me. I mean, there kind of was a point to that. Like, you know, she's trying to figure out what teenagers want and she can't, you know, even understand her own daughter. So it kind of ties in a way, I suppose, but I just thought that interrupted the flow of the movie.
Wasn't that interesting?
Yeah. The police investigation part that kind of doesn't really go anywhere. They just shouldn't have taken us out of the house for me. But one thing that I thought was really weird, was it just me or did it seem like the dad just couldn't give a fuck about that daughter?
He was just, I don't know. His character wasn't very well written and he wasn't likable or like he was reacting to shit very unnaturally. I think because he kept telling her like, oh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's like, your daughter's missing, dude. Like, and your son is freaking out, fucking trying to go down this creepy room. Like, you need to fucking pull your head out of your ass and do something.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, let's just go stay in a hotel for a little while.
Yeah, like, that's the one thing I didn't understand is, like, why the fuck are you guys still staying there? Like, especially why everything's going on. And it's like, you guys look wealthy. You can afford a fucking hotel room. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, like I said, a lot of cliches. I actually like the movie for the most part. I mean, it really does kind of pick up towards the end. And there's a few things that actually I kind of think you probably liked. But I'll let you speak for yourself on that. But yeah, the last 20 minutes or so, you know, it gets pretty lively. I mean, this is another one. Like, I'm not going to sing its praises, but at least I had a good time with it. I had a good time watching it. Very weird seeing Elijah Cuthbert as a mom. I still think of her in her Girl Next Door role in House of Wax.
That's the first thing I said. It's not even that she's a mom. It's that she's a mom of a teenage girl.
Teenage girl, yeah.
If she was like a newborn, but like a new mom, but yeah, that made me feel older and shit. Because I loved her on, like, besides the ones you mentioned, her show Happy Endings was criminally underrated, but I did like this one too. But I agree, it's not like great, but I did enjoy it and I'd watch it again.
Well, I actually didn't like it. Hate to be the turd.
I kind of figured that from your
you said so, last. Here's my thing. I didn't really care about the mom's character and just following her throughout this her trying to investigate shit herself and just throughout the whole thing. I didn't really care and I didn't like her at all. Nor did I find anything she was doing compelling to get me to root for her. So that kind of put me out of it, especially with the first, like, I think it was like 50 minutes. I did get a little bit interested once, you know, they mentioned a certain entity But the way that plays out in the final act, I mean, it has its moments, but overall, I just don't think it was worth a journey or this. And I don't think I'll ever have to, you know, rewatch this or give it another shot because I was pretty bored by the end. And when you have some cool shit like it was happening, especially with a practical, I mean, you see it on the cover art. There's definitely a practical monster we get inside this movie, but we didn't get enough of him. And by the time we did get him, I was really checked out. So it's a dud for me.
All right. Well, we got one more to go to break that streak. But I don't know. I had a good time with this one. But again, very much in the vein of like a Night's End for me. It's like, you know, it's not something that necessarily warrants another watch. I had a good time watching it. But yeah, terrible parents, though. Like, come on. At least get the son out of there. What are you doing?
Well, yeah, the son just... When she caught him, I think it was like the second time almost, you know, going in the room and probably disappearing. It's like, you guys need to fucking do something about this. What are you guys doing?
Move like one of those expensive ass antiques in front of it. Yeah.
I mean, I get the point. Like if they would have, you know, left the house, maybe we wouldn't have had a movie, but I mean, there's ways to work around that.
True, true. But yeah, more Cuthbert. She's only 39, by the way. So she's not that old. It's just weird. It is weird seeing her at the team. Ben brings up Girl Next Door. I'm a big fan of that one as well.
Absolutely.
Not to be confused with the Jack Ketchum, which I'm also a fan of that.
Oh, that's what I thought. See, I am thinking Ben says that's his favorite romantic comedy. And I'm thinking the Jack Ketchum thing. And I'm like,
I was going to say Ben's a little fucked up if he
missed that. That's what I said.
I said it.
I was giving them points and shit. But
but there's also that documentary on, what is it, Stacey Valentine, the porn star, called The Girl Next Door also.
Yeah, there's a few movies under that title. So yeah. But yeah, no, it's fun. I don't know if you remember... old Luther Reigns, aka Horseshoe, had his little cameo in that movie. It's like, feel her tits, and then realized they weren't with a porn company. I actually kind of want to rewatch that.
I watched it not too long ago. That one, and also Miss March from around the same era, I think, is underrated too.
Miss March is good too. Yeah, I was gonna say
the lead. I know he recently died. But he always reminded me of a young version of Edge, just even his mannerisms and everything.
Oh, yeah. From he was in, I forget the actor's name, but he was in The Whitest Kids You Know, which is was a fucking hilarious show, also. God, I forgot he died. RIP. I feel like a watch along maybe at some point for Girl Next Door. Maybe we'll do both Girl Next Doors. It'll be the romantic comedy night. We'll get the Jack Ketchum one, and then...
And we won't see which one you're going to get. Just have them both ready to go.
There you go. You just spin the wheel, sort of, you know, on Patreon. But all right, The Cellar. I'm a 3 on this one. I think it's above average. It's a one-time watch, probably, but I liked it.
Ben's already down for the Girl Next Door watch along, so just double throwing that out.
The question is, which one do we begin with the Jack Ketchum adaptation and just depress the shit out of everybody and then end on the high?
I think you have it wrong. Either way, we end on a high. So I don't know what you're talking about, Dan.
I'm such a fan of it. I even have the
hardcover book. This is really like a fucked up, but because it's based on a true story, so.
What'd you give it, Dan? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I'm a three.
Jeez.
Cliche, but.
Yeah, I can't go higher than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And I'm a 2 out of 5.
All right.
Still not your least rated movie tonight. We got a couple lower than that.
Oh, Big T has an interesting question in the chat, Todd, that he wants to know, obviously, and I agree, we'll probably be getting a Hugh Hefner biopic. Who should play Hugh Hefner?
Uh, Also, we got to know who's going to play Cosby, because he's going to be in that too.
Oh God,
Cosby's so like distinctive. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I could see like an it coming off as like very campy. Yeah, but I could think of a few people that could pull Hefner off. You know what? This one might be a little bit out there, but Michael Fassbender. I don't know why he came to mind for Hef.
I don't know. All I know is Larry Flint must be happy. He's like the least scumbag of these guys now.
It's like what Eddie Murphy said with Cosby. Who thought I would be looked at as it's more wholesome than
it's crazy. But and those two were BFFs, Cosby and Hef.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've yet to watch the
so good
Playboy stuff. Yeah, I don't know
how many boxes of tissues I went through.
That's messed up, Todd. But yeah, I will get to that. I don't know. Fassbender just comes to mind. You guys have a better suggestion for Hef in the chat? Cosby, I'm drawing a blank.
Michael Shannon came to my mind.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's possible. Fassbender and Michael Shannon, I guess, are some solid choices.
I'm blanking on his name. Joanna Man Enchiladas. Oh my God. Michael Nunes is Bill Cosby. There we go.
Ben throws out Dane DeHaan. Okay. Yeah, I like him. He's a really good actor, but he's kind of box office poison. Not his fault. Kind of like Carl Urban there for a while. He'd make really good movies, but they just never hit at the box office, you know, Pathfinder and what have you. But
he found his niche on TV. Well, streaming, whatever you want. TV show. What do we call them? Are they TV on a show? There we go.
Series.
Thank you. I'm trying to think of something.
Just series. That works. Yeah. So, all right. We got one more. And this one, very anticipated, so we'll see if we'll break the streak. Our next one is a Taiwanese horror film from director Rob Jabaz, and it is The Sadness. And in The Sadness, we after years of combating a pandemic with relatively benign symptoms, a frustrated nation finally lets its guard down. This is when the virus spontaneously mutates, giving rise to a mind-altering plague. The streets erupt into violence and depravity as those infected are driven to enact the most cruel and ghastly things they can think of. Murder, torture, sexual assault, and mutilation are only the beginning. The young couple is pushed to the limits of sanity as they try and reunite amid the chaos. The age of civility and order is no more. There is only the sadness. So this was like the one notable flick that I wasn't able to really get to last year. And I finally got to check it out. Before I get into it, I will say I'm a massive fan of the Garth Ennis graphic novel series Crossed. And this is very much, it's not a zombie film. I guess, you know, you kind of consider it more 28 Days Later. But in this one, it's just a virus and it makes you fucking evil. Like, just fucking evil. And you love pain and just every kind of degrading thing you can imagine. And this is definitely extreme horror. There is some ocular trauma that would give Fulci a boner. It is hardcore from beginning to end. And all right, I have more to say about this one, but let's see. Krueger, does the streak end? Did you have fun with at least one?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much a given. My buddy Kyle from Top Cult, YouTube channel, he had seen this at the festival I think it was like 4 months ago or something like that, and he just said it was absolutely fucking ridiculous. And I had heard so many just different things, even like little spoilers that I saw coming up in groups about some of the fucked up shit that we were about to see in this movie. I will say, I don't think it's as fucked up as, you know, I was expecting, because I have seen, you know, a lot of fucked up shit. Unearth Films is my my favorite boutique label. So I watch a lot of really depraved, twisted shit. But this one is definitely depraved and twisted, but I'll just say there's other stuff out. It doesn't get to the level of Serbian Film. Let's just put it that way. All right. So it really, like, I was really impressed. Like the gore, practical effects, the way the fucking infected people look, it's just, you know, scary and terrifying. I also like the different perspectives, how we had two different stories going on, you know, with the boyfriend and then the girlfriend at, you know, two different locations and then bringing them together in the final act. I thought that was really well done. And just, man, like the bus scene, the fucking sandwich shop scene, everything, the fucking basketball court stuff. Like there is so many iconic just moments that are absolute nonstop mayhem, gore. I mean, blood just spewing like buckets and buckets of fucking blood. I mean, if you're a gore hound, this is everything you're gonna want.
Oh yeah, and from beginning to end. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And you know, the thing that I love about it too is just like, you know, we start off pretty wholesome and then it just goes 0 to 100 and does not fucking let off the gas pedal the whole damn time. I mean, it was just escalation after escalation of just getting more and more depraved.
Pop when one character is being tortured and then he just goes, "Why'd you stop them? I was about to shoot my load."
Damn. Yeah, and some of the dialogue is just fuck, like, you know, really, really twisted stuff. I'm a huge fan. I had to watch this one twice though, because like I said, I think my expectations were just like, oh, I'm looking for, you know, the next most fucked up thing I've ever seen. Didn't get to that level, but after watching it the second time, I'm like, yeah, this is my type of fucking zombie movie. This is everything I really wanted. And fucking highly recommend it. It's going to be on the top of everybody's 2022 list, because, I mean, goddamn, really is up there.
Oh, it's impossible not to have a blast with this. Again, unless you're sensitive, because this is just like
trigger
warnings for everything.
If you're easily triggered, do not fucking watch this movie. Yeah. But, you know, if you just want a gore fest and to see some fucked up shit, this is a perfect, what was that, hour and 40 minutes of your time.
You couldn't. Yeah, this is like an American studio. No fucking way could you make this.
I just messaged Pugs like, okay, I'm hard now.
you messaged the whole group.
You both know Ed.
Yeah, there's just, oh man, like, and practical gore. You know what I mean?
There's maybe one sequence of CGI throughout this whole movie. I think it was when that lady jumped off the fucking building. Mm-hmm. But even that, I mean, it looked fantastic, and you know, you didn't look out of place or anything like that. And then the rest is just gore fest, fucking people, you know, disgusting stabbings, you know, sexual assault happening, you know, and just fucking
new holes.
Yeah. Shout out to the Serbian Film reference. If you're sick like me, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And we're definitely got plenty to talk about in fucking spoilers.
So, like I said, read the graphic novel Crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the closest I think we'll ever get to something like that. And, you know, unless, you know, Unearth Films gets some like major funding and decides that they're going to fucking put out a Cross adaptation. Stephen Biro, please do that. A lot of people would fucking watch it.
Yeah, sell your house and just do it.
Yeah,
it'll be your legacy. Because
it's funny, Ben Grimm in the chat brought up the first 10 minutes at the sandwich shop reminded me of Toxic Avenger.
Oh yeah.
I totally felt that too. I gotta throw it out there,
especially like, and this isn't, you know, just blood, like the puke stuff, like, you know, there's, if you have problems with puke, don't watch this movie, because there's a couple of really nasty goddamn moments in here. But yeah, it did. I do get that. And like, I feel like it kind of took a little bit of like, just with various kill scenes and certain things, I think it was kind of playing homage to some of the more extreme things that we've seen in, you know, the genre.
Yeah. I mean, the basic story is nothing, you haven't seen before. Like I said, it's a, you know, it's an infection type movie. Yeah. 28 Days Later, but it was just what the doctor ordered. If you're just like, man, I'm really tired of Safar.
It was literally
Safar.
Well, that was how I felt. Like everything I was watching recently, I haven't really been big on. Honestly, this year hasn't been a big year for me. And maybe that's probably dealing with some personal shit too. But like, there hasn't been many movies that like, I was just like, fuck, I already know that's going to be on my list at the end of the year. And that like, you know, I need to have that in my collection immediately. And this is one of them. Perfect double. If you need a double, like zombie style flick, start with this and end with Yummy, which is a completely different tone, but still gets really fucked up and fucking is more comedic.
Yeah. Yummy is just a blast. Belgian, zombie-ish movie. Let's just call it. But
that's Raven Banner too, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, dude. Like Raven Banner has put out some really awesome shit.
Oh yeah,
even if the customer service is crap,
it really is.
But
they're like mad at me because they fucking didn't refund me. What happened was they sent me a package and then didn't refund me the thing that they had out of stock. So I was like, "Where the fuck is it?" And I asked them, and then they were all rude about it. I'm like, "Oh, we didn't have it in stock, so." Sorry, we're not like a big company like Amazon or something. I'm like, what the fuck?
Just give me my money back.
I just want my fucking $15, asshole. But as far as fucking putting out movies, you guys put out some of the best. They just put out a new edition of Baskin I think it was like a year and a half ago. Yeah. They put out consistently, probably my favorite stuff outside of Spectrevision. But even with like Spectrevision, they don't put out as much as like Raven Banner does. Their consistency is like top notch. They have at least two or three really, really awesome ones each year.
Yeah, their Blu-ray of Deathcember, if you want, you'll get it. Crappy Christmas, yeah. The one that was not in the US streaming version I checked.
Anyway. Yeah, it's not on any of the streaming things because I was actually trying to show Stephen Biro it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because I was trying to have him hit that guy up and see if he wanted to do something because he's putting out, you know, this new claymation movie pretty soon.
Aired the trailer. The
Milkman one. So I was like, fuck, dude, Crappy Christmas. That guy, Weirdo Mation, would be perfect for Unearth if he did a feature length movie.
And to no one else's surprise, I do have a write-in review from Pug, so I'll just go ahead and read that.
Let's go.
Go for it.
I don't know. He hated it. I don't want to read this. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I was like, there's no fucking way.
Delightful. Highly entertaining. Familiar and new at the same time. All the characters were interesting. Super gory and fast-paced for the most part. Kudos for having that amount of violence on screen from stabbings, beatings, putting penises where they should not go, and putting penises in people that don't want them inside them. Bravo. Overall, I loved it, minus half a point for introducing an idea and not developing it. Wait, not diverging it. Not, wait.
Developing it?
Not diverging that specific thing. Oh, okay. I know what he's saying. That'll get explained later. Since up until then, their balls seemed fearless. Next time, just don't mention it. Spoilers for the reveal. So there's a certain thing that got mentioned that wasn't paid off.
Me fucking too.
Okay, that's the thing you kind of brought up earlier. We'll save that for spoilers.
There is potential for more in this universe too, and I hope you get it. Do you know how this was funded? I don't know if it was the director or the producer or both, but the filmmakers have a cam girl company, and they use those profits to. Yes. So you probably, I'm assuming, have some cam girls.
That's sprinkle. Rad.
I also, before we move on, though, I want to put over the train pervert. I don't know if the character was
his character. Dude, his acting was so fucking good.
I think that was his name.
He was a nasty villain. mean, just that whole interaction before the turn on the train. And then, I mean, this movie is suspenseful, too. It's a gore fest. It's very lively, but it has some very suspenseful moments as well. So, you know, I was very impressed with this. Once again, don't watch it and get all upset because it is extreme. You've been warned.
It definitely deserves a trigger warning.
For everything, yes.
Yeah. There's people that are going to be like, oh, fuck. I'm going in just thinking I'm going to watch a zombie movie. And then here I go fucking seeing struggle snuggling every fucking 5 minutes. But it's just it kind of makes sense, though, that, you know, they run kind of work in the pornography business because, like, they probably needed so many fucking extras. Like, because there's, you know, just these massive groups of actual zombies running, you know, no CGI, just actual fucking people looking menacing in full makeup. You know, bravo. This is the way you fucking do it, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
No fuck movies like World War Z that fucking put on all those fucking people, in CGI and shit like that. Like, you know, this is the way it's done. The actual menacing crowds. And there's a big difference from seeing, like, you know, these stupid little blobs of people running after, you know, the group, then actually having actors where you could see their eyes and see them look menacing and, you know, their facial expressions. And the one thing I like about this movie, too, is I've already watched it twice. And each time, like, I can notice different things going on in the background because there's so much going on screen.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, this one, if you're a gore hound, you will be pleasantly surprised, and hopefully we'll get more. Like I said, a lot of the more ballsy films now, more and more overseas. So I loved it. Let's go ahead and rate it. Kruger.
I'm tossed up because, like, my heart wants to give it a 5 out of 5, but I do stand with Pugs's take. There's one thing that they held back on that they shouldn't have, and if they would have fucking showed it, even not even in one specific scene, but at some point in this movie, if they would have showed a certain type of violence that I'm a fan of, it would have got a full 5. But I'm gonna go with a 4.5, but it's my second favorite movie I've seen all fucking year, so I already know it's gonna make my top 10 list at the end.
Okay. See, with this one, even though the basic story is pretty familiar, I still think it kicked so much ass that I'm giving it the 5. I loved it. And I'm an unashamed 5 for me. How about you, Todd?
I was going back and forth. But, I mean, overall, I know it's going to make my top 5 of the year. I'm going to give it the 5, even despite one thing not happening. And for Pugs, he is 4.5 stars. Would recommend to some.
Yeah. Not all. Yeah, that's pretty good. There's some people that I know that would absolutely fucking despise this movie if I recommended it to them. Yeah. My uncle being one of them. I recommended Titane. Because, you know, well, he's like trying to learn French, right? And he's starting to get into horror. But I'm like, dude, like, French is, it's rough. Like, you know, it's extreme horror. So, you know, be careful with what you watch because you're going to see some fucked up shit. And, like, Titane isn't even that bad. And, like, at least in comparison to stuff like Inside and Martyrs, you know, like, I don't think Titane isn't on that same level. As, you know, just fucked upness and gore and stuff. But, yeah, he's scarred for life with Titane. But he's going to keep going. He's like, I do enjoy the movies, but I get squeamish. So I'm like, well, that means they're doing their job. One day you'll get calcified fucking, you know, feelings towards this type of thing.
Like taking a bump. You just got to watch a lot before it starts feeling like you're in hell. But, Yeah, and Raven Banner will have a Blu-ray coming out of this. Is there a date yet?
Not to put there on the spot. But I don't have it in front of me. I want to say it's like May.
It's in the next few weeks.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's May, like early May.
Remind me. so I don't forget because I'm gonna order it.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna pre-order it or whatever Diabolik puts it up.
Yeah, yeah, Diabolik's probably a good way to.
Diabolik has a media book. There's a steel book out there too that I really want to get my hands on. But yeah, Raven Banner also has like an exclusive slip cover. But the cool thing is like Diabolik gets all the exclusive slip covers and shit like that usually from Raven Banner. So I'll wait for the whole bag,
even though I loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on.
No, because with the 4K and the horror pack, I'm good.
Okay.
If you're sure it's going to come, you never know. 4K.
Oh my God, you guys.
It's not a guarantee. Watch this be like.
Yes, it is, considering I watched the 4K.
Okay. We'll see. But I'm going to get it right away.
Man, the 4K is already out.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it was already out.
The media book's been out for like 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's why we're.
Yeah. But, man, now I don't know.
Let's get into spoilers.
Before we do a special, because I didn't mention it at the top of the show. If you have AMC, watch out. The Hatching, which we're going to be doing a review of in a week from tomorrow, I believe it is.
When Dan says AMC, he means AMC Theaters, not AMC Network, just so everyone doesn't get confused.
Yes, AMC Theaters, Hatching.
I'm not sure it's exclusive, but it is there. I haven't been able to confirm it.
All I can say is I talked to a couple friends who've looked and don't see anything outside of AMC. So, I don't. It looks like it. But
they do get a lot more of the indie stuff. That was their whole thing when they reopened up. They get a lot of those small things that are just a week or two. So it probably is, but I don't have like press release that says that, so I don't want to say
it. Man, I hope it lives up to that trailer. I'm really excited for Hatching.
My expectations are low, so I'll be good. All right. Well, on that note, Kruger. You're muted. Okay. All right, let's go to spoilers.
All right.
Sweet. So,
the sadness. The one thing that they did not show, and it was implied twice, and it really bothered me because we see everything on screen, you know, minus maybe the penetration with the eye-fucking scene.
That was so awesome.
but for me, the one thing that upset me was that we didn't see any babies die, and like we had a baby get killed, dude. That's fucking the most one of the most depraved things you can show on screen. I mean, I'm sorry, but it is, and that would have put it would have put the cherry on top of the sundae for me if I would have saw some kinder violence throughout the movie.
I believe Pugs has dubbed it kinder trauma. But before you go too much further, let me read Pugs because he won't be able to alter his one spoiler. So I'll just read it real quick because it kind of piggybacks off that. They mention non-consensual lovemaking to the babies in the maternity ward and then eating them. Off-screen or a quick cut would have been insane. I was hyped for it. I was unnecessarily blue-balled. I'll see you in Disneyland.
I think that almost like just the tone, like the eyeball scene, I think worked not showing it. Like, you could have done that,
dude. It would have worked so awesome if you saw. Would have been too Serbian
trauma.
No, it would Serbian film, motherfucker.
For the eye scene, I think.
Eye scene in the Serbian film. Yeah. Milo sticks his dick in that dude's fucking eye socket and fucks his eye to death.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't have I'm not criticizing the movie. I think it kind of worked when he was just giving those lines. And then I don't remember if you see him unzip or whatever, but I was like, oh fuck. Okay. I don't know. I didn't have an issue with not showing it in that case.
I'm just saying it would have went harder if it did. And you would have had it on the level of stuff like a Serbian film. You know, this isn't a fucking great list to be on, guys. I mean, it's going to be a fucking controversial thing for your movie. So I'm not necessarily like faulting it, but I'm just saying it would have took it to a different level for me. And but more so with the kinder violence than anything. I think just not showing that really hurt it for me.
Ben has a question. Why would she just sit there and get her eye?
Well, if you notice, the guy said that by the end she was moaning for more, so maybe she was turning as it was happening.
Yeah, that is true, because she kind of had that blank look, like, right before you were turning. Yeah. Like, you know, they kind of teased it with the guy a little bit, where he started getting those flashes, but he snapped out of it.
Well, yeah, and you start to cry and stuff. That's why, you know, the sadness. That yeah. was nice. That was,
yeah, I think in a way it would have, showing more of the gore at the end with the scientist, maybe wouldn't have worked, because then it was trying to be a little more serious, and then it was just like, oh, okay, we're just going to try and offend you as much as possible. I don't know. I was kind of okay holding back a little bit on that. Not that, you know, again, it's an extreme horror movie. There's a lot of depravity in here, but I think it kind of worked. It was trying to be somewhat emotional in the way he was, you know, describing what he had to do and everything. And I don't know. I'm kind of, I think they did it just right in this case, but yeah. Not quite going the Serbian film route, but you still got that director's cut Blu-ray coming
out. It's not even just that, though. Like, you could have had a scene, like, you know, the infamous little girl scene in Crossed. I mean, we could have had a reenactment of that in here, and it would have been fucking huge. Like, that would have been the scene everybody's talking about. I feel like, yeah, people are going to talk about the eye scene. But there was an opportunity for something with, you know, either a child or, you know.
Well, a dolphin gets fucked and crossed. So, I mean, one, it would be hard.
I don't know. Bestiality, child death. I don't know where they rank for everybody, but.
Look, this one is rough. I feel like maybe this conversation is building it to be rougher than we're making it out to be. But
it's definitely, you know, if you're in there for gore, and, you know, even if you're just like, you know, splatter movies, I mean, there's blood just splattering all over the fucking place. Like, when that one dude gets stabbed in the neck and then it goes full Nightmare on Elm Street and the fucking blood goes all over the ceiling of the bus. I mean, that was fucking just so badass. I mean, just the amount of spew, too. I mean, it's it even gets a little ridiculous at times. I mean, I see Jesse from Diabolic. He's been talking about how it kind of has a little bit of a Category 3 feel to it at times.
Oh, definitely.
And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Definitely. I think in a weird way, you can mention this alongside something like a Serbian film, but there's a lot of people that would never watch a Serbian film. Would still enjoy this, even though, again, it's still fucked up, it's still gory. But
Dead Alive thrown out there too.
Well, so sure.
Oh yeah, Dead or Alive
on the more humorous side, but yeah, that for sure in terms of the gore. I don't know. I think this one hit it just right. Like, if you went too graphic with that part of it, I think you would have limited it in a bad way. I just don't think they needed that.
You know, I agree with Pugs. Even if the other thing was off screen, I think that, you know.
Yeah, well, and again, there's potential for sequels to this too.
Well, yeah, it's not even like we're talking about, you know, the baby rape scene, the fucking Serbian film. I'm talking more so just, you know, violence against a child, like, I think is more powerful when you see it on screen. And when the doctor's strangling that baby. Like, I was a little bit upset that we didn't get to see, you know, something. Maybe the baby bites him and he fucking has to smash it on the floor over and over again. Fucking like the lighthouse with the, you know, with the seagull. Like, have that with a fucking baby. I mean, that would have put it like, holy shit.
You probably could have gotten away with it after it turned. Like, yeah, then it's,
that's what I'm talking,
like,
about.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, like, necessarily, like, innocent babies. I more so, like, that was more Pugs talking about the cut-in with the baby fucking and eating thing. But, I mean, granted, like, that would have been crazy too, but I think just not seeing the violence, and it's also implied throughout the movie. Like, there's a scene where a kid's underneath a blanket, like, in a gurney covered in blood, and then there's another scene where there's a baby carriage that's, you know, covered in blood. Like, it's implied a few times, and I kind of was hoping it would have built to something towards the end there. But
I think we needed a trigger warning on our spoilers tonight.
Yeah, no shit, right?
But yeah, no, I hope people check it out. And Ben said it's going to be on Shudder. So there you go, in May. The reactions to this will be interesting, because I know this is really elusive for people for a long time. It was like the one thing. It's like, man, I want to watch it for my best of list last year, but nobody could find
it. You couldn't get your hands on it because it was in the film festival circuit, and the only way you could watch it up until a few weeks ago was that. And luckily, now we have the media book, which you can get from Diabolik. So check them out and pick that up.
There you go. Yeah, I'm gonna have to get on that right away.
Yeah.
So, do we have spoilers for anything else tonight?
No, I think that's it.
Okay,
I already pulled the spoiler thing. Hopefully not.
That works. So, yes, so we will have that Hatching show. And who do we have coming up next? We'll be back here, of course, next Wednesday. And I don't know, more Freddy's Nightmares on the way, guys.
Yep. Yeah, we'll have Freddy's Nightmares this Saturday. I can't remember what's on Farce Monday. And then we'll be back next week. Yeah, I know we have a new video dropping on Patreon soon. I think the end of the week, beginning of next.
Yep, and keep an eye out for more watch along. So we have the Piranha one up there right now, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures.
We even talk about the movie for part of it.
Yes, those ones are a little more raw on Patreon.
And if you want to hear what Todd gets in his messenger, you can find out there.
Yeah, still, is that still going on? I'll just leave it a mystery here. But
I know. We should do a post game show and talk about it. I've got another message and.
Yeah, just keep sending them. Yeah, that's cool, dude.
We should vote on it. See, this, we'll talk about it later off air. Go listen to the Piranha show if you want.
Maybe I'll pull the
clip as an exclusive Patreon gimmick.
Everything is revealed. So yeah, I think that's about everything. I'm got to get to the movies, man. I've got Northman. I've got the Nick Cage film. There's a lot of Duel. There's a lot of cool shit out right now.
Yeah, I think I've made the decision that I'm gonna wait till I can see the Nicolas Cage movie at home, just for the sure fact that there's so much shit I need to fucking catch up on before I watch that movie. From an interview the director was talking about, so like, I'm gonna unfortunately not see it in theaters, but I am going to see The Northman, which I'm really psyched for.
If I would have had to pick between the two, I would have went with the Nick Cage movie first.
Yeah, but you've seen everything. Like, I haven't seen everything. I became I always liked Nick Cage, but I became a fan with Mandy and Mom and Dad and fucking Willy's Wonderland and Prisoners of Ghostland. Like, his newer stuff that in the horror adjacent genre.
I mean, yeah, but you know Face Off. So, I mean, even if you haven't seen it, you know the plot.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen clips and shit, but like, there's going to be, I think, stuff referenced, at least from what the trailer looked like. There's going to be stuff referenced in the movie from, you know, his past roles. So I want to be able to get the full experience when I watch it.
Yeah, well, just, you don't need to see everything. I'll just leave it at that.
No, he said Raising Arizona, adaptation, Face Off. Leaving Las Vegas, a couple others, I think.
Okay, yeah, I think I'm pretty much good. I don't want to say I've watched every Nick Cage movie, but I've watched all pretty much.
I just Piz brought it up in the chat. I haven't seen his Bad Lieutenant remake.
Port of Call, New Orleans. Yeah,
I've heard good things, but yeah.
Yeah, I almost wish they didn't tie that into Bad Lieutenant. In a way, because I don't know, people compare them, but it's really good.
And he had a great co-star in Drive Angry. And on that note,
who probably hopefully didn't shit on anybody on that movie, but Piz has actually interviewed some people on that movie. So offline, I will ask if there was any shit.
Well, too bad she didn't shit, because it would have been in 3D on that one. Wait, no, maybe that's a good thing. Yeah, let me flip that.
Maybe it's never mind. Anyways, good night, guys. Catch me on S'mores Indoors this weekend and Slaughterport. And it's a busy streaming weekend. And with that being said, good night.
Todd?
Good evening.
Stay sick, motherfuckers.